There are no limits as to what God can do. Faith is the means of opening the windows of heaven through which pour the manifold blessings of God. Dear friend, are you seeing the great and mighty things God has promised? The Lord Jesus Christ never wasted time. He said in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." So we see that Christ left Samaria. I read in verse 43 of chapter 4 of John, "After 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee." He went into Galilee, but not to Nazareth, which was considered his own country. Why? Well, verse 44, "For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." It is not said that Christ was not received in Nazareth. Of all places, it was there where he was known by so many. They should have shown the greatest respect and admiration for him, but they seemed, of all people, the least interested in him. The same is often true in churches where pastors labor faithfully for many years. Though the Lord blesses with a fruitful ministry, some members of the congregation are often critical and unappreciative. The same is true in many homes. Mothers and fathers, who with unselfish devotion seek to provide the very best for their children, are frequently misunderstood, even despised. How tragic that we do not give respect and honor where it is due. Well, not all of Galilee was like Nazareth. Look at verse 45. "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." This intimates that our Lord performed many miracles in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover feast, which are not described in any of the four Gospels. John mentions the miracles in the second chapter, verse 23, but no place in the Scriptures are they given in detail. After entering Galilee, our Lord went again to Cana, where he was met by a man with a heavy burden on his heart. Verse 46. "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." The nobleman had great wealth and high rank in the king's court. But wealth and position provide no promise of escape from adversity. Like many, this wealthy nobleman had been able to keep poverty from his door, but not suffering. Desperate, the nobleman came to Christ with a ray of hope in his heart. Verse 47, "When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." The word besought suggests that he came begging the Lord Jesus for help. He wanted Christ to make the trip back to his home to heal the boy. Notice our Lord's reply in verse 48. "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." It would seem that the nobleman was more interested in what Jesus could do than who he was. The nobleman had come to Jesus because he knew Christ could perform miracles. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to be a miracle worker. He came to provide life, eternal life, for all who believe on him. This is of far greater importance than the healing of the body. The wealthy nobleman was in earnest when he cried out in verse 49, "Sir, come down ere my child die." After what our Lord said about seeing signs and wonders, I am convinced that this father believed in his heart immediately. The rest of the narrative seems to prove this. Our Lord acted immediately in response to his faith. Verse 50, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." It seems obvious that when the nobleman came to Christ, he did not fully realize our Lord's mighty power as the Son of God. He wanted Jesus to make the trip to his home, but of course this was not necessary. Christ's promises are as mighty as his presence. Why should we be any different from the nobleman? God promises in His Word, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That means Monday's grace for Monday, Tuesday's grace for Tuesday, and so on. Why then should we borrow trouble from the future? The Lord Jesus said that we should take no anxious thought for the morrow. The law of divine grace is sufficient unto today. The law of divine deliverance is a very present help. The law of divine guidance is step by step. It should be noted that the nobleman asked one thing while God did another, but the son was healed. God answered the man's request in His own way. Sometimes we wonder why our prayers are not answered. They are answered, though not always in the manner or in the way we think they should be. His answer may be yes, no, or wait, but He always gives an answer. Sometimes we pray incorrectly, but God never answers incorrectly. He knows what is best for us, and He always answers in the way that will be for His glory and our good. As the nobleman trudged along his way in going from the hill country to the lowland, he was met by his own servants, who brought news that thrilled his heart. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." The boy had been so sick, and yet now he was well. This was not a case of improving. He was cured. The nobleman inquired of them of what hour he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The seventh hour, according to the Jewish reckoning of time, was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. Here again, the word believe is used as a full surrender to Jesus Christ. It appears that the nobleman had already believed even before he started his journey home, but now any questions or doubts that may have been in his mind were gone forever. The grateful father must have recounted every detail of his experience to his family. The result was that his whole house believed. What rejoicing there must have been in that home. This home was now established upon the unshakable foundation of the Rock of Ages, Christ Jesus. God says in His Word, Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Up until this time, the nobleman's home had every available convenience, but it lacked the one important requisite to provide true happiness. So many homes are like this today. Christ is needed in the hearts of every member of the family if our homes are to experience the joy of the Lord. Dear friend, does Jesus Christ abide in your home? Is Jesus in control of your house? Is He there at every meal? Is He there all through the day? Is He there during the evening hours when you turn the TV on? Is Christ Lord of your home? Is Christ Lord of your life? He wants to be, and He can be, if only you will turn to Him like this nobleman did and say, "Lord, I believe." I believe. Believe what? I believe that You died for my sins and rose again. And right now I trust You as my Savior and Lord. Jesus will hear you. Pray a prayer like that. Father God, we thank You for the life You give. And some listening need this life today. May they turn to Christ. And then we think of some of our homes. Oh, how miserable those in the homes are because they don't know Christ. I pray, Father, that they'll come to Him. In His name, amen.